If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. This passage of Scripture should be very, very familiar if you've been around the church long, been saved very long at all. Should be very familiar. But what I like is when God takes a familiar text, like He did this week, and speaks to my heart in such a way. I want to read the first two verses, and then we're going to be throughout the chapter bringing the message that the Lord has impressed upon our heart. You remember a while ago I asked you, what is the most important thing in the world? We'll get to that in just a moment. Look in this passage here, in verse number 1, the Bible said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Years ago, I always had trouble getting those good and acceptable and perfect in order. So I just gave it the little word gap, G-A-P, that helped me to get them in order. Good. Now listen, it's not an or. The will of God is good. The will of God is acceptable. The will of God is perfect. It's not an or. It's not good or acceptable or perfect. But the will of God is good. The will of God is acceptable. And the will of God is perfect. And I'll say this. It's a full-time job to know the will of God for one's own life, let alone trying to figure out the will of God for someone else's life. Amen. Let's pray and we'll get right into the message. Father, we thank you this morning for the great singing that we've heard, Lord, the congregation, the choir, the special singing, Lord, that just makes us homesick. Singing that makes us look forward to our real home. Lord, we know that we're strangers and we're pilgrims here on the earth. But Lord, we thank you that you've gone to prepare a place for us. And Lord, that you will come again and receive us unto yourself. That, Lord, we can be with you in your presence around the throne of God. Lord, until then, we pray you'll give grace, give mercy. Help us today, Lord, as we look at these truths. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The most important thing in this world is God's will. Now, how many of you a while ago when I asked that question, how many of you said in your heart and in your mind that the most important thing in the world is to be saved or to know that heaven will be your home? And that's why I said I would guarantee you that most of you would be half right. When we're talking about God's will, that is certainly the first and the foremost thing. Let me read a couple passages of Scripture. Not going to spend a lot of time here, but we're going to spend a lot more time on the second part of the message. Our salvation, is the first statement I want to make, is the will of God. It is the will of God for men and women, boys and girls, to be saved by the grace of God. The Bible said in the book of Peter, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward. We ran across that Wednesday night, the days of Noah, how that God was longsuffering. And longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want to make a statement. I believe that everyone, listen to me carefully, that dies without God and goes to hell, goes against the will of God. I believe God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will may come. Amen. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, that whosoever will may drink of the water of life freely. The Bible said in the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, I want to say this morning, and when we're talking about the most important thing in the world, the will of God, the first aspect, you can't even enter into the second aspect of what I'm going to talk to you about today without being in that first aspect, being saved by the grace of God, knowing that your name is written in heaven, knowing that you have a home in glory land that outshines the sun, knowing that your last breath here, your next breath will be in the presence of an almighty God. Brother Joe said as he came by this morning, he said, "Preacher, I'm not far away." I tell you, beloved, listen, you say that's easy for a man that's 80 some years old to say. Let me say this to you. He may not be the next one. There may be somebody closer than him. Brother Eddie Crucemary went out last week, amen, last Sunday at 53 years old. Listen, age doesn't have anything to do with it. Illness doesn't have anything to do with it. You and I have an appointment. Are you listening to me? And that appointment's going to come in your life, and it's going to come in my life. And certainly when you're talking about the will of God, our salvation is the will of God. The second thing, and here's where I want to park today, our service in the will of God. I want to talk about not only our salvation, the fact that it is the will of God, but I want to talk about our service in the will of God. I believe that this is highly overlooked in our generation. That if you listen this morning, can you sit there and say, "Preacher, I tell you what, I know I'm saved. And as well as I know I'm saved, I know I'm in the will of God for my life." I'll tell you what I believe. I believe a mirror reflects what's standing in front of it. And I believe God has given us the mirror of Romans chapter number 12. Never seen this before in my life, but he's given us Romans chapter number 12. And if we'll look in that mirror will reveal to us and will reflect back to us where we are in the will of God as his children. I'll tell you something this morning. Listen to me carefully. I don't say this lightly. There's probably around 150 people in the auditorium, 200 plus here this morning. But listen to me. If that many people were in the perfect will of God in Bloomingdale, we could turn Bloomingdale upside down for the glory of God. I'm telling you, it's not to be looked at lightly. It's to be looked at soberly. And God has helped me this week as I've looked at this chapter. And I want to show you this morning some indicators, some reflections as we look in that mirror to being in the will of God. First thing I want you to see is the will of God is reflected in holiness. It is reflected in holiness. When you're looking for the will of God, you need to ask yourself, am I trying to walk after God, seek after God? Am I trying to follow the Lord? Am I trying to be closer to God? Let me give you some things in the text here. I believe it's important. The will of God, the Bible said here in verse number 1, by the mercies of God, you see the word brethren is where I got the first part. Our salvation is the will of God. You can't be, my friend, in the will of God in service until you're in the will of God in salvation. And you become a brother, a part of the church, born again. But he said, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. And then he said, holy, acceptable. In the Old Testament, beloved, when they brought the sacrifice, they didn't bring something that was lame. They didn't bring something that was about to die. The lamb was to be a spotless lamb. The lamb, beloved, listen, for you and I is the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants us to present a vessel unto honor. He wants us to present a vessel that's holy unto him. And he said, this is not unreasonable. He said, but it's very reasonable. He
It's our reasonable service. It's reflected in holiness. It seems like in some circles today that holiness is a bad word. Holiness is not a bad word. Holiness is a Bible word. Holiness is not a Baptist word. Holiness is a Bible word. God wants His children to be holy, amen, to reflect Him and His character. That's what God wants us to do. And so, let me give you some things. Number one, it'll make you closer to the Savior. Holiness will always make you closer to the Savior. You say, well, preacher, I feel like in my life I'm just getting farther and farther and farther away from God. If that's true, you're out of the will of God. Because I'll tell you, beloved, listen to me this morning, the will of God will not get you farther and farther and farther away from Him, but hallelujah, it'll get you closer and closer and closer to Him until one day you step off in His presence, amen, and one day you'll be just like Him. And so it gets you closer. The Bible said by the mercies of God that we're closer to the Savior. But let me give you this. It'll get you closer to the Scripture. This is important. Beloved, listen. You can't lay that Bible down from Sunday to Sunday and tell me that you're in the will of God. The Word of God said here, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let me tell you something, beloved. Listen, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox News, the Kingsport Times have never done anything to renew an individual's mind. There's only one thing that'll cause you to think like God thinks, my friend, and that is the Word of the living God. That's why we have so much division in our land. That's why you have some people say there's nothing wrong with a man marrying a man. And somebody else says, yes, there is something wrong. Well, what somebody else says is not important. What that person over there said is not important. It's what God says. That's what renews an individual's mind. That's what shows us the way. Beloved, that's why I wanted Brother Brian to read the letter from Brother Mitchell. Brother Mitchell said the meetings aren't what they used to be. He said the reason they're not what they used to be, sin has crept in. And it's hard to even find conviction among God's people of sin. Listen, I'm not fussing at you this morning, but I'm telling you this on the authority of God's Word. Beloved, if you're in God's will, it's moving you closer to Him. It's moving you closer to Him. It's moving you closer to that book. It's moving you closer to His Word. It's renewing your mind. It's causing you to think like He thinks. You say, preacher, what do you think about abortion? Why don't you go in Psalm chapter 139 and see what God thinks about it? You say, preacher, what do you think about adultery? That's not important. It's what God said about. What do you think about stealing, preacher? You believe it'd be all right to steal if you was hungry and your family was without something to eat? I tell you what I believe. I believe if you're hungry, you got enough, you know, your family didn't have anything to eat, if you'll just start knocking on doors and asking people and telling them, beloved, if you're right with God, somebody will give you something to eat. You don't have to steal it from them. I've often said, ask me for anything and I'll give it to you. But please, dear God, don't go behind my back and steal it from me. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? It's reflected in holiness. Our service in the will of God. Listen, it makes you closer to the Savior. How many say amen right there? I mean, it feels like you're getting a little closer. I'll tell you something right now. I've had the privilege to pastor this church for 3 years. If you don't feel like you're getting a little closer, you might not even be in the right place. You say, preacher, how can you say that? I'm just trying to tell you, beloved, listen, that the preaching of God's Word, the singing of God's songs, the fellowship with God's people ought to be moving us in His direction. Closer to Him. Closer to Him. Closer to the Scripture. But let me give you this. This is a part that's often overlooked, but it'll move us not only closer to the Savior and closer to the Scripture, but it'll move us farther from the world. Amen. Brother Rose, you and I both know that's not preached anymore. The Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The will of God is moving us. If that wall is the Savior, closer to the Savior. That wall's the Scripture, closer to my Bible. That wall's the world, honey. The closer you get to Him, the further you get from the world. The Bible, you say, preacher, where's that in the text? Here it is. Be not conformed to this world, but be it transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, everybody in this room at some point in time has probably eaten some Jell-O. It's hard to do Jell-O without a mold. Somebody has to have a little mold to pour it in, amen? And you pour it in, you set it in the refrigerator, and it sets up, and you can turn it out of the mold. And listen, the devil and the flesh and the world has a mold for you and I. They want us to get in their mold. They want us to set up. But God said, I don't want you in that mold. I don't want you to look like the world. I don't want you to act like the world. I don't want you to, my friend, be of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And the will of God will move us from the world. From the world to the Savior, to the Scripture. Beloved, listen. If you're in the will of God, God said, one of the things you'll see when you look in that mirror is holiness. There'll be, I still can't get that lesson Brother John brought a couple Sundays ago on Sunday morning. I can't get that part off of my mind where he said, listen, we fail. But he said, when we repent, we ought to want to do better. And I like that. I believe that's what repentance is I want to do better. I don't want to do like I've been doing. Amen. I want to progress. And the will of God will help you and I to progress. Get closer to God. Get further from the world. It's reflected in holiness by the mercy of God. Holy, be transformed. But let me give you this morning. Listen to me carefully. This is important. Not only is the will of God reflected in holiness, but let's read verse number 3. Listen to what the Bible said. I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, every one members one of another, having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, ministry, let us wait on our ministry, he that teacheth on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. I said, number one, the will of God is reflected, listen to me carefully, in holiness. Persons in the will of God, they can look in that mirror and say, thank God, I'm not what I used to be. Thank God. I can look in the mirror and say, thank God, I'm not what I used to be. But I can also look in the mirror and say, thank God, I'm not what I'm going to be. I'm not there yet, hallelujah, but I'm headed in that direction. But let me give you the second thing about the will of God. It's reflected in holiness. Second thing about the will of God, without fail, it'll be reflected in humility. You say, preacher, what do you mean? A person that's in the will of God don't think of themselves more highly than they ought to think. A person that's in the will of God, Brother Steve, realizes that grace was given unto them. A person that's in the will of God realizes that faith was given unto them. A person that's in the will of God realizes that church, the body that's talked about right there, was given unto them. Honey, listen to me this morning. If you look in that mirror and you see somebody that's full of pride, I tell you what you're looking at. You're looking at somebody that's out of the will of God. Because the will of God, my friend, will cause you to walk in humility, not in pride. You go down the street, there's somebody staggering. The will of God won't cause you to swell up. Say, what's wrong with them? The will of God will cause you to say, but by the grace of God, there goes I. Well, I tell you, the will of God will produce a humility in our lives. We'll realize, Brother Lance, we're not in this alone. Amen. I don't know how many times, listen, I walk through those doors and I actually look up here at an empty building and just say, God in heaven, I get to be the pastor at this place. What an honor it is. God knows I don't deserve that. God knows I don't deserve that. We'll walk in humility if we're in the will of God. We'll realize that all we deserve is to be frying in the region of the damned. That's what you and I deserved. But Calvary, hallelujah, grace, faith, come along. You know, I thought about this. I didn't know whether the Lord would let me say anything about it or not, but I believe he will. Brother Chuck Stout was the first preacher to preach in Brother Eddie's funeral the other day. My wife and I went up, and at 25 minutes after 10, the chapel was already full. The side rooms were already mostly full. And we got a spot in the back of one of the side rooms, but it happened to be real close to the pulpit. It worked out real good for preacher. I could hear probably 95% of everything that was said. But listen, Brother Chuck talked about going up there to the hospital. I'm not sure. I didn't pick up. Maybe I could look at Miss Eve. Was Brother Eddie's body still in the room? It was. I thought, but I wasn't sure. Brother Eddie's body was still in the hospital room. It takes them a while to get there from the funeral home. And Brother Chuck said, he said to somebody, I need to go in this room. And they said, you'll have to go down to the nurse's station. And so he went down to the nurse's station. He said, I need to go in room so-and-so. And he said, a little girl, a little nurse, turned around and said, you can go in that room. Like that. He went in that room and he sat down. And he said, he told the congregation, he said, I wasn't bad at God. He said, but I sure was hurt. He said, I said, God, I don't understand this. Lord, I don't know what you're doing. And he said, he looked up on the wall and he said, written in red was the word grace. You say, what in the world was the word grace written in red on in a hospital room wall? I'll tell you in a minute. But anyway, he said, I began to feel a little bit better. He said, I looked down. I said, well, brother, you got in by grace and you got out by grace. You say, preacher, what's that do? I tell you, Brother Steve, that humbles my heart this morning. I got in by the grace of God. I'm walking through by the grace of God. And one day I'm going to check out by the grace of God. And does it make me want to swell up with pride? Makes me want to fall at his feet. Listen to me this morning. He said, well, he said, I looked up there and there was the word grace written in red. And he said, I found out that grace was Brother Eddie's nurse. He said, then I found out that little girl that turned around the nurse's station and said, you can go in that room. That was grace. Can I tell you something right now? All of grace is my story. All the way from earth to glory. Since by grace he lifted me from sin and woe. Living grace he has extended. As on him my heart depended. There'll be new grace when it's my time to go. Beloved, humility will be reflected in the mirror of an individual that's walking in the will of God. You see, every once in a while, I don't have the problem that I used to have. Or I should say it like this, it's not as bad, Brother Lance. You see, God's people sometimes, especially young men in the ministry, Brother Steve, God gets to using us a little bit. And if we're not careful, we begin to think a little bit more of ourselves. I'm not talking about you, but I'm talking about problems that I've had. We think more of ourselves, more highly than we ought to think. That's when I'm glad, brother, that my God's got a board of education that he could apply to the seat of learning. Amen. That he could knock us down a notch or two and help us to realize, Brother Ted, it's not us, it's him. If anything's ever accomplished of eternal value, I'll guarantee you it's not the preacher. It's the God of heaven that did the work. Amen. And that ought to make us humble in the sight of God. The Bible said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he might exalt you in due season. Beloved friend, our salvation is the will of God, but our service in the will of God is reflected in holiness. It's reflected in humility. Let me give you some things quickly. It's about 3 minutes after 12. I don't usually tell you that, but I'm going to tell you that because I've preached 2 out of the 9 things that God gave me in this chapter. What's so funny? I want to be in his will. Brother Rick Hall, I go back off into that little office over there where 5 men met with me. Brother Wayne, I hope it was so evident in that room that all I wanted was God's will for my life. I told the men and begged them to pray. I said, men, I can't afford to miss his will. If you've ever been in his will, let me just say it like this. Nothing else will ever do. You can look the world over, but if you've ever been saved by the grace of God and known the joy of walking in his will, nothing else will ever do. Nothing else. But the sad truth is, Sister Teresa, many of God's people are born again, genuinely saved, born again, and live and die and never discover. I tell you, if we believed what I'm preaching this morning, it would change how we pray for our teenagers. It would change how mom and dads counsel their teenagers. Because they'd be saying, son, like, the most important thing in the world is not that you succeed on the ball diamond or in an office somewhere. The most important thing in the world is that you be in the will of God for your life. I don't believe God is saying well done to just everybody that goes to heaven. But he is saying that to those that found the will of God for their life and walked in the will of God for their life. If you're in the will of God, it's reflected in holiness. If you're in the will of God, it's reflected, secondly, the Bible tells us there, in humility. But if you're in the will of God, I want to say this. Look at that verse 9. It's reflected without hypocrisy. What do you mean? The Bible said, let love be without dissimulation. What that's talking about there is in a hypocritical manner. Let me say this to you. When you love somebody because of what you can get out of them, are you listening to me? You're out of the will of God. But when you love somebody, and it doesn't matter if they're as poor as Job's turkey, or if they've got the finest home in Kingsport. I'm going to tell you something, Brother Steve, that's how our visitation program ought to be. We shouldn't go by a trailer park to get to a subdivision where there's big, fine homes. We shouldn't skip either one. That's what I'm trying to say. From the top to the bottom, so to speak, love is without hypocrisy. It's without respect of persons. And I believe that's important when we look at the will of God for our life. Let me give you a couple of things quickly. Love is reflected through honor. Look at verse number 10. The will of God is reflected through honor. be kindly affectioned one to another, in brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Let me go back to that previous verse. I just saw something that needs to be brought out. I didn't quote all the verse. It says, let love be without dissimulation. It says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Let me just say this. It's one thing to stand in church and say, I love the Lord. But I'll tell you what, that same love ought to be going on in your heart and in your life when nobody's looking. You ought to be hating evil, loving good. It's reflected through honor. It's reflected in the next verse through hardiness. The Bible said, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You say, preacher, what do you mean hardiness? The Bible said, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. A person that's living their life, whether you're talking about the job, whether you're talking about the Sunday school class, whether you're talking about your church life or your home life, a person that's half-hearted is out of God's will. We ought to do whatever we do heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men. It's reflected through hopefulness. Look in verse number 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. If you're in the will of God, there's going to be some hope boiling up down inside of you, believing that God will do what He said He would, that God will answer prayer. It's reflected in helpfulness. Look in verse number 13. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. I believe a person that's in the will of God is looking for somebody to help. Somebody help me this morning. I said, I believe a person that's in the will of God is looking for somebody to help. Whether you're talking about helping them, my friend, materially, or helping them financially, or spiritually, or emotionally. I believe people that are in the will of God, they're not living for themselves. They're living for others. They're not looking for somebody to minister to them. They're looking for an opportunity to minister to someone else. A long life's way. It's reflected in helpfulness. Number 8, if we're in the will of God, it's reflected in happiness. You say, preacher, what do you mean? The Bible said in verse 14, bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that do weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Let me just give you this. You can go on and read the rest of that. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, let's go down to the jail cell. Over there in the book of Acts, there are two men that have been beaten. They're bleeding. Their backs, no doubt, are gaped open with lashes. Their names are Paul and Silas. I'm going to tell you something right now. There is evidence when you look at what was going on down in that jail that those two boys were in the will of God. The Bible said they were singing. You say, what was there to sing about? Well, I tell you, when they got locked up for preaching, they got beat for preaching, there were some things that didn't change. Their Savior was still on the throne. He had still risen the third day, just like they had been preaching. He still died for their sin. Their name was still in the book of life. They were still heaven bound. So they found something to sing about. Now, the Bible said they were praying. Brother Steve, I don't know this for sure. I won't be dogmatic about it. But I kind of believe one of them might have whispered something like this. Oh, God, forgive that jailer. Oh, God, I know he thinks he's doing the right thing. Oh, God, I know he's blind. I can hear Paul saying, just like I used to be. Oh, God, I know he thinks he's doing the right thing when he locked us up and when he tied us up and when he beat us. Oh, God, help that jailer. You say, preacher, I don't know about that. Well, the Bible said they were praying. I believe a person that's in the will of God will pray for them that persecutes them. I believe that they won't take matters into their own hands. You see, by doing so, What God did was took matters into his own hands. And the God of heaven shook the jail. And the Bible said that the jailer sprang in. He came in with a light and he came trembling. He'd never seen anything like it before. Could it be that maybe the jailer even heard something that was said out there? Maybe he heard a line in the song, Brother Ralph. Maybe he heard part of their praying. But maybe he just couldn't believe that they weren't cussing like everybody else that they beat. But he came in trembling. Let me tell you what this generation needs. We need some more trembling. We need some of God's people agonizing in prayer, trembling, realizing our loved ones are going to fall off into the region of the damned if they don't get saved. We need some more sinner folk trembling in our generation. The Bible said he came in trembling and he fell down and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Let me tell you in another form what he was saying. He was saying, "I need what y'all got. How do I get it?" Here's that jailer now. Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Here's that jailer now that had applied those stripes, washing those stripes. You talk about a meeting. Honey, they were having a midnight meeting down at the house of the jailer. Why? Because two men, Brother Johnny, had the privilege to walk in the will of God. It moved them towards holiness. It moved them towards humility. It moved them towards helpfulness. It moved them towards all of these things that we've mentioned this morning. Being in the will of God. God honored them. Let me give you one last thing this morning. You all know that I'm just kind of giving you this. You understand that. Each one of these points. I say that. Brother Lance was talking about being on vacation. And talking about God just giving him one thought after another after another. And I've heard Brother Lance teach a time or two, and he'll say, "I've got 4 points, or I've got 5 points, and I like that, amen, structure. The 9 things that God has given us in this chapter, the last thing is not the least. It's just as important as every other one of them. Look at verse 17. The Bible said, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." Beloved, I'm going to say this. If you're walking in the will of God, you're going to be an individual that's honest. Now, I'm going to say some things. I'm not saying them to hurt you, but I'm saying them to help you. That means a 15-minute break at work is a 15-minute break, not a 20-minute break. Help me. You say, "Well, I didn't steal nothing from them." If you stole 5 minutes, you stole. How many remembers old timers with character like that? I'm giving you this because I couldn't believe it. Bob is in the manager system at Walmart, and he told me this is going to make some of you want to get a job at Walmart. But he said, "You're not late until you're 15 minutes late." Honey, when I got in the workforce, you was late if you wasn't 15 minutes early. Somebody help me. You're not late until you're 15 minutes late? Honesty. An honest day's work for an honest day's pay. You say, "Well, preacher, they don't pay me what I'm worth." You're probably having a little bit of trouble with that second one. You'll have to go back and get the notes. Amen. No, but you agreed to it.
When you went to work, you agreed to it. Ain't that right? You agreed to it. God wants to ask you this morning, are you in the will of God? If you're not saved, you know the answer is a definite no. I'm not in the will of God. I'm not saved. But you that are saved, how many believes I've stayed right in the book this morning? And that in that mirror of chapter number 12, God didn't just start off by saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren. By the word that beseeches, Paul is saying to the church at Rome, I'm begging you, by the mercies of God. Let me tell you something about a pastor's heart. You probably already know this. But a pastor, he don't want to stand before God one day and be the only one. That's not his goal, that God would just say to pastor, well done. No, I tell you, a pastor's heart, he wants to stand somewhere over the corner. He wants to watch his sheep march by the throne. He wants to see every one of his youngins, amen, every one of his sheep. He wants to see them hear God say, well done. You've done good. Here's a crown. Because you see, it's not just important that your pastor be in God's will. It's just as important that you be in God's will. That's a telling mirror, isn't it? It's a telling mirror. I'm going to just go ahead and say something. I think y'all been around me long enough to know, Brother Wade, you know I want our church to grow. I look forward to the day, buddy, when you'd have to set out chairs around here. I want it to grow. But I tell you something right now. If that would cause us to swell up in pride, and that would cause us to get the idea, boy, we don't need him anymore. I'm talking about him. That I'd hope it never grows. I think you can have it both ways. I believe you can grow, and I believe you can stay in love with God, stay in the will of God. I'm just saying, if you had to choose between the two, I'd rather have a sweet spirit and 20 people as I would 2,000 in turmoil every time you come to the house of God. I can honestly say, and 3.5 years of standing in this pulpit, there never been a time, Brother Rose, not one, that I felt like I was bound and that I didn't have liberty and that folk weren't praying for me. I'll tell you, you ask men of God in this land how precious that is. It's humbling to think that the likes of God would give you and I, the likes of us, the opportunity to walk in his will. What a blessing. Are you in his will? How many believes it's the most important thing in the world? Most important thing in the world. Listen to me. I'm just going to say this for future reference. Listen to me. When young people are considering school, I'm talking about to get out of high school and they're going to college, they ought to consider God in that and consider his will. When they're considering a career, they ought to consider God in that and consider his will. But let me tell you something, Mom and Dad. You're getting ready to change jobs. You better consider God in that. You better consider his will. You're getting ready to change locations, you better consider God in that. How many's with me this morning? You better consider his will. Somebody said, well, the grass is greener. I know. Lots of times you'll find out it's because there was a septic tank underneath. Amen. Honey, I tell you what, the devil's got a lot of septic tanks out there. He'd like nothing more than for us to step off in one of them. How many's glad you come this morning? Brother Ralph, get us a song. I appreciate that. Sister Laura, where are you at, honey? She might be in the nursery. There's Sister Becky. I didn't know you were here. Amen. That's great. We're going to sing a verse of a song this morning. Let's bow our heads this morning for just a moment. I want you to think about something this morning, if you will. I want you to think about something. Number one, do I know that I know that I know that I've been saved by the good grace of God? How many could slip your hand up this morning and say, "Preacher, I thank my God above. That's settled in my heart. That's settled in my life." Amen. 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 I wonder this morning, maybe somebody would say, "Preacher, to be honest, that's not settled in my heart. I'd like to get it settled. I do believe it is His will for me to be saved. That's why He died on Calvary. That's why He rose the third day. Preacher, pray for me. I need to get that settled in my heart and in my life." Anybody this morning? I need to be sure that I've been saved by God's good grace. Anybody? Anybody? Let me ask you this question this morning. You that are saved by the grace of God, you've looked in the mirror this morning, the mirror of Romans chapter 12. Oh, I tell you, the hardest place in the Christian life to look is in the mirror. How many would say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved, but there's at least one area when I look in that mirror, I'm struggling in at least one area." God bless you, honey. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I want to be in His perfect will. I want to walk with Him so close. I want to walk with Him so far from the world. I want the people I work with. I want my family. I want them to be able to sense His presence in my life. Are there others who say, "Preacher, at least one area I need to help as I look in that mirror. Pray for me." God bless you, honey. God bless you. God bless you, honey. God bless you. Oh, let me tell you something. The will of God's precious. Wonder how many would just slip in this altar this morning and I'm not your high priest. Jesus is. You just whisper it to Him. For example, if it was that second one, and you'd say, "Lord, you know, I've not been humble. I've been full of pride. Forgive me, Lord." Whatever the area is that God spoke to your heart about, what would be wrong with just coming in an old-fashioned altar? Say, "God, it's not my brother. It's not my sister. This is between me and you. Lord, I want to be in your will. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want to walk so close to you that I can sense your heartbeat." Many have come while we sing. Maybe others would like to slip in this altar and just say, "Lord, show me thy will.